أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي I welcome all of you with Islamic greeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, blessings and mercy of Almighty Allah be on all of you. Before we deal with the topic of today, I would like to make a request that as all of you may be aware that Sheikh Ahmed Didar just about 2 weeks ago, he has suffered a very severe stroke, and at present he is in a very serious condition. I request the brothers and sisters that we should make dua that he once again gets back his fitness and health. And at present he has been flown today morning to Riyadh, where he is undergoing treatment at the Riyadh Hospital. And we make dua that we once again have Uncle Ahmed Didar back with us. The topic of this evening talk is Dawah or Destruction. What do you mean by the word Dawah? Mm-hmm. It is the same as the word Dawah. But the moment it reminds you of a lunch party or a dinner party. Dawah does not mean a lunch party or a dinner party. It actually means an invitation. But today, we will not be speaking about an invitation to a lunch party or a dinner party, but we'll be speaking about Dawah to Islam, the invitation to Islam, the invitation to Deen al-Haq, the religion of truth. An invitation is only given to an outsider. Therefore, Dawah is to be done to the non-Muslims. When we speak about Islam to the Muslims, it's called al-Islam. But when we preach the message of Islam, or we speak about Islam to the non-Muslims, it is known as Dawah. I start my talk by quoting a verse from the Holy Quran, from Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 110, which says, "Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas," that, "Oh, ye are the best of people, you are for mankind." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us Muslims as the kuntum khaira ummatin, that we are the best of people evolved for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an honor. But always, along with the honor, it is also followed up with responsibility. For example, in a school, the principal has got more honor than the teacher. The teacher has got more honor than the clerk. In the same fashion, the principal has got more responsibility than the teacher. And the teacher has got more responsibility than the clerk. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us Muslims as the kuntum khaira ummatin, that we are the best of kingdoms evolved for mankind. But naturally, we also have a responsibility. The same word gives the answer. It says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that we enjoy what is good and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us the kuntum khaira ummatin because we enjoy what is good and we forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. If we don't enjoy what is good, And if we don't forbid what is wrong, we are not kuntum khaira ummatin. We are not fit to be called the best of people. We aren't fit to be called as Muslims. Therefore, upon the Holy Quran, it is compulsory that we enjoy what is good and we forbid what is wrong. That is, we speak to the non-Muslims about Islam, about the good things, and we prevent them and we forbid them from the evil. That's the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran gives us this honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 143, He says, you are the middlemost community, you are the Ummat al-Wasat, you are a justly balanced community, and you have to be a witness over the nation, and the messenger will be a witness over you. It's the duty of every Muslim to be a witness over the other nations. It's compulsory that we speak about Islam to the non-Muslims. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he will be a witness of us on the Day of Judgment. Amongst all the surahs of the Holy Quran, Surah Tawbah happens to be the most militant surah of the Holy Quran. Why do I say that Surah Tawbah is the most militant surah of the Holy Quran? Because it's the only chapter of the Holy Quran, it's the only surah which does not begin with the beautiful formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Otherwise, if you analyze all the other 113 chapters of the Holy Quran, start with the beautiful formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. For example, if you read the Quran, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad. Every chapter of the formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. But Surah Tawbah does not begin with this formula. Why? Because in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a warning. And when a warning is given, Bismillah is uncalled for. For example, if suppose you are walking with your wife or with your sister on the road, or suppose I am walking with my wife or with my sister on the road, and suppose there is a hooligan who snatches away the bag of your wife or of your sister and runs away. But naturally, you will try and catch him. And if you catch him, you will not say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You will not say, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. You will not say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You will not say, may peace be on you. You will get to the topic directly. Hey mister, give the handbag or break your arm. Hey mister, give the handbag or break your neck. You directly get to the subject. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, when He is giving a warning to the mushrik, to the pagans of Makkah, Bismillah is uncalled for. Because if you read Surah Tawbah, the first four verses, there is a peace treaty between the mushriks of Makkah and the Muslims. And this treaty was unilaterally broken by the mushriks of Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a warning and says, you put things back in place or a declaration of war. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 5 of Surah Tawbah that after the four forbidden months are over, you should fight the pagans of Makkah. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them 4 months to put things back. Otherwise, a declaration of war. But by the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches verse number 24. The Muslim is addressing us. Now, we are in the firing line. And he says in the Holy Quran of Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 24, he says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. Say, whether it be for your father, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, or your son, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, or your brother, وَالْبَادِكُمْ, or your spouse, your wife, or your husband, وَشِرَتُكُمْ, or your relative. What are your considerations? Your father, your son, your brother, your spouses, your what are your considerations? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, what are your considerations? Is it your father? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 23, that I have only worshipped none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you be kind to your parents. After worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next to it is being kind to your parents. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 135, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina aman, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice and as witness to Allah, even if it be against yourself, against your parents, or the relatives, or the rich and poor. So Allah protects both. That means you have to respect your parents, but if they go against justice, if they go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can even go against them or against your own self. So Allah continues in Surah Tawbah chapter 9 verse 24, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ. Say with your deeper father, your son, your brother, your spouse, your relative. وَأَمَّا لَنِكْتَ رَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٍ تَخْشَوْنَا تَفْرَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُوا تَرْضَوْنَهَا. The wealth that you have amassed, the business in which you deal, the houses in which you delight, what are your considerations? The wealth that you have amassed. Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse number 261, that if you sow one grain in the way of Allah, Allah will give you 7 years, each year bearing 100 grains. That means Allah promises you to give 700 times if you invest in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to know which business in this world will give you 700 times profit. That is 70,000% a profit of 70,000%. So Allah says, if the wealth that you have command, what are your considerations? The business in which you deal, that if I go in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe I will lose business, I will lose my friends, the houses in which you delight. And Allah continues, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. That if you love all these things more than Allah, His Rasul, and doing jihad in the way of Allah. Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, you wait, حَتَّى يَحْيَ اللَّهِ الْيَمْرِ, until Allah brings about His decision unto you, until Allah brings about His destruction unto you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ, and Allah guides God the perverted transgressors. Allah is telling us Muslims that if you love all these great things more than Allah, His Rasul, and doing jihad in the way of Allah, Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, you wait. And believe me, we Muslims are waiting, sitting on our backside doing nothing. What does Allah mean when He says, wait? What does He mean? Suppose, when a teacher, when she's teaching in a class, and she tells the student, when they're reading a book, that look out for a word. The teacher is actually meaning that you should look in the book, not look out of the book. That is the genius of the language. When the teacher says look out, she's actually meaning the student should look in. Similarly, suppose in the school, there's a senior student who tries to bully a junior student. And the junior student tells the junior student that you like it's my elder brother. And the elder brother happens to be the biggest hooligan of that area. So the junior student is actually warning the senior student that you better improve or you'll be taught a lesson. When he says, wait till I get my elder brother, he's actually telling him that you bug off, that you school, otherwise you'll be taught a lesson. In the same fashion, when Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُ, Allah says, wait. That means the Muslims will better improve, otherwise destruction will come upon you. Allah is giving a warning. We are in the firing line. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, chapter number 47, verse number 13, says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِنْكُمْ غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, that if you do not do the job, if you turn away from the path, Allah will substitute in your place another people, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not be like you. The Holy Quran says that the people who Allah has given an honor to, if they do not do their job, Allah will substitute in their place another people. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not be like you. If you see history, when you read the Holy Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has chosen the Jews and He delivered the message to the Jews and He chose them as the people to deliver the message. But these Jews, they were too proud. They said, why should we deliver the message to the ignorant people? And if you read the Holy Quran, it's mentioned Surah Jummah, chapter number 62, verse number 5. That when the Jews were asked to deliver the law of Moses, that is the Mosaic law, they did not do the job. Their simplitude is like a donkey, like an ass, carrying tons of books, but they understand it not. So the Jews looked down upon the Arabs. These ignorant people, what will they understand the message of God Almighty? It's useless giving the message to them. And if you know history, even the invaders, they bypassed the Arabs. Because the Arabs were looked down upon. It was the days of ignorance. Yawm al-Jahiliyyah was called the days of ignorance. And the invaders, they did not even feel like ruling Arabia. You know why? Because they were so ignorant, the Arabs. They did the tawaf around the Kaaba absolutely naked. They had a logic. They said that what is a better way to present ourselves to God Almighty than the way in which we came down in this world? So they said that we will do the tawaf around the Kaaba absolutely naked. So the Jews look down upon the Arabs, and Allah has His way. When He substitutes the people who are not doing the job, Allah chooses those people who are looked down upon. Allah brings those people from the dust and makes them sit on your head. Allah has His way. Allah has His law. يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمٍ غَيْرَكُمْ, Allah will substitute in your place another people. And these people which Allah chooses are the most ignorant people, the people who you look down upon. So Allah, later on, chose the Arabs. And with the Holy Quran, they became the torchbearers. Allah then chose them, made them the Kuntum Khaira Ummatin, the Muslims. But if you see history, whenever we do not do the job, we are substituted. For example, if you know the history of Spain, we Muslims, we ruled Spain for about 800 years, but we did not do the job, we did not do the dawah. When the Crusaders came, there was not a single man who could openly give the adhan. We were wiped out. Why? Because we did not do the job. we did not deliver the message. Allah helps you. If you do not do the job, Allah will substitute in your place another people. Summa la yakunum salakum, and they will not bless you. We Muslims, we say that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone in the world. We love Him the maximum. We love Him more than a father, more than a mother, more than our family members. We love Him the maximum. But do we actually believe in what we say? Suppose your neighbor, if he abuses your mother, or if he abuses your sister, and if you get back home, and when you come to know that he has abused your sister or your mother, what will you do? You will see to it that you teach the neighbor a lesson. If you physically cannot do it yourself, what will you do? You will hire someone else to do the job. You see to it that your neighbor is taught a lesson. He's put in his place. Why? Because we love our mother. We love our sister. We respect our mother. But if you read the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is crying. He is crying out in Surah Maryam, chapter number 19, verse number 8. He cries out, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا, that they say, the Christians, that Allah most gracious has begotten a son. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا. Indeed, it's a most monstrous thing to say that Allah has begotten a son. Allah says that they say, the Christians, that Allah has begotten a son. Indeed, it's the most monstrous thing to say. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا تَقَادُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ يَتَفَتَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. As though the sky is ready to burst, وَتَنْشَقُ الْأَرْضُ, and the earth to split asunder, وَتَخِرُ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا, and the mountains to fall into utter ruin. Imagine when they say that Allah has begotten a son, as though the skies are ready to burst, to split open, and the mountains to fall down to utter ruin. Then they should say that Allah most gracious has begotten a son. Imagine, it's the biggest abuse you can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But believe me, our neighbors, they are abusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our neighbors, they say that Allah has begotten a son. But believe me, nothing is happening to us Muslims. Why? We say, we love Allah more than our mother, more than our sister. When someone abuses our sister or our mother, we get agitated. We want to teach the neighbor a lesson. But when the neighbor abuses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't want to interfere. It is not affecting us a little bit. Our Christian neighbor, he says that according to the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. They say that Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him, is the begotten Son of God. But are we making any effort to correct our Christian brothers? Have we ever told them to explain the meaning of the word begotten? They say that according to the first epistle of John, chapter number 5, verse number 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And they say, and they believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Have we ever told them that what they believe is wrong? Have we ever told what the Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 171? Quran says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَا, don't say Trinity, إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, detest, stop it, it's better for you. Have we ever opened our mouth? Have we made an effort to correct them? We say that we love Allah more than anyone in the world. But do we actually mean it? We look around us. There are our Hindu brothers. They say that Allah has begotten a son. But has he made any effort to correct them? They call us for festivals. And you were knowing about the common festival, that is Ganesh Chaturthi, especially celebrated in Maharashtra, the place where I come from. And they call us for puja. And many of our brothers, the Muslims, they go for the puja and they even have the offering which they made to God Almighty, their so-called God Almighty. That is, they have the qatar. The Quran clearly gives you the message in no less than four different places. In Surah Baqarah chapter number 2, verse number 173. In Surah Maidah chapter number 5, verse number 3. In Surah An'am chapter number 6, verse number 145. And in Surah Nahl chapter number 16, verse number 115, it says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَجْدُ وَالْدَمُ وَرَحْمَةُ الْدِينِ وَمَا أُخْرِجَ لِرِجَالِ النَّاقِ. That's popping for you for puja, the meat, blood, the flesh of swine, and any food on which the name of anyone besides Allah has been taken. The Quran forbids you from having any food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked in no less than four different places. And when the Hindus, when they give us the prasad, we go to the function, we go to the puja, and we even have the prasad. We are testifying, we are giving shahada to them that we believe Allah has begotten a son. Imagine, it's a shame on us. Allah is crying in the Quran that is the most worst abuse we can give to Him. And we Muslims, many of our brothers, we go to the functions and we testify that what they are saying is absolutely correct. We say that how can we hurt the feelings of our friends? How can we hurt the feelings? And we have to live with them in harmony. So we are giving shahada that Allah has begotten a son. Have you ever made an effort to correct them? It is so easy. You can yet keep a good relationship with them and correct them. The only thing you have to do when you go to the puja of Ganesh Chaturthi, you have to ask him that, my dear brother, who is this Ganesh? Who is this Ganesh? So the Hindu friend will tell you that Lord Ganesh, he is the son of Lord Shiva. That means Lord Shiva has a son by the name of Lord Ganesh. One day, when Shiva, when he had gone on expedition, for long expedition, his wife Parvati, she takes out dirt from a body and she makes a son. And one day she tells the son, the seed, I am resting in the house. You guard the entrance of the house and don't allow anyone to come into the house because I don't want to be disturbed. And this thing takes place when Lord Shiva is away on expedition. At that moment, Lord Shiva comes back in the house. And when he's about to enter the house, this God Ganesh, he stops his father and he says that you cannot enter the house. My mother is resting. And this thing is told to you by a Hindu friend. You don't have to tell him this. He will tell you when you ask him who is this God Ganesh, he will describe to you the story of Lord Ganesh. So the son of Parvati, he stops Shiva from entering the house and says that my mother is resting. Lord Shiva, he gets infuriated. He gets wise that who is this young boy trying to stop me from entering my own house? He's so angry that he chops off the head of his own son. Imagine, you have to ask him the question that when your Lord Shiva, he cannot identify his own son, how will he identify me? When your God cannot identify his own son, how will he identify me? And the story continues that the head was chopped off so hard that it goes away miles, thousands of miles. So when he realizes his mistake, Lord Shiva, he says that the first animal you come across, chop off the head of that animal and bring that head to me. So the first animal they come across is an elephant. to the top of the head of the elephant, and Lord Shiva takes the head of the elephant and he puts it onto the body of the sun, and you have a hybrid, an elephant man. And this person is called Lord Ganesh. So you ask him, do you worship such a god? Then the Hindu friend will tell you, see, this is not mythology. It's mythology. We are fairy tales. See, we are in a modern world. You have to tell him that brother, do you believe in this? He will tell you, no, it's only mythology. You tell him that, see, brother, I want to have the prasad, but you prove to me that Lord Ganesh is God. You prove to me and I will have it. He will say, without fairy tales. He says, Anandu, don't have the prasad. You have to educate him. You have to do the job. You have to do the job with hikmah. You don't have to insult him. You don't have to abuse him. You have to ask simple questions, innocent questions, and that is the job. Because the Holy Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 108, that revile not those people who worship God besides Allah. Abuse not those people who worship God besides Allah. Lest in their ignorance they will revile Allah. They will abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to abuse them. You have to ask them questions and they themselves will realize. If you read the Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 120, it says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعُوا مِلَّتَهُمْ. That means the Jews and Christians, they will never be satisfied until you follow their brand of religion. And Allah tells you in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 111, it says that greatest, وَقَالُ لَا يَكْنُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ تَعْنَا هُودَنُ النَّصَارَى. The Jews and Christians, they will tell you that you Muslims, you shall never enter Jannah until you become a Jew or a Christian. They come knocking at the door and they tell us that you Muslims, with your Tawheed, with your Salah, with your Zakah, with your fasting, with your Hajj, you shall never enter Jannah until you become Jew or Christian. That's challenging us. Allah says, Tilka amaniyuhu. This is the wishful thinking. This is the baqwas. Qul hatu burhanakum. Tell them, tell your proof. In kuntum sadiqin. But it's a truthful. We have to ask them to produce their proof. If they speak the truth. And believe me, they have produced their proof. That is the Holy Bible. They say, my Bible says this, my Bible says that. And they have produced the Holy Bible in no less than 2,000 different languages. What language do you understand? The Bible is there in that language. They have produced the Quran. What do we have to do? Do we have to follow it hook, line and finger? When anyone produces his truth, what do we do? You verify the truth. You verify the ideology. So we have to read the Bible and check whether the Burhan is truthful or not. Have we done it? Believe me, these Christian missionaries, they read our Quran and they are making life miserable for us. They come knocking at our doors throughout the world, in every part of the world. They come knocking at a door and they say that, see, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran that the Bible is the word of God. I mean, most of our Muslims will say yes. The Holy Quran says that Bible is the word of God. So the next question is, why don't you follow the Bible? Believe me, we have no answer. They come knocking at our door and they say that your beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he is mentioned by name in the Holy Quran only 5 times. But the name of Jesus, peace be upon him, is mentioned 25 times. Who is greater? These missionaries, they don't give you the answer. They let your mind think. Don't give the answer. Don't impose the question. Who is greater? And that was the next question. Has Muhammad been there for him? He had a mother and father? In Muslims say yes, he had a mother and a father. Did Jesus be there for him? Did he have a father? He said no. Yes, he had a mother. Mother Mary, may Allah be pleased with her. But he believes that he was born without any male intervention. He had no father. So who's the father of Jesus, peace be upon him? They ask the question, they don't give the answer, but they let your mind think. Who's greater? A person who has a father and mother, or a person who has a mother but no father? Who's greater? They ask the question, but they don't give you the answer. They let your mind think. They come knocking at our door. They say that, did your beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did he give life to the dead? We say, yes, we believe in many of his miracles, but we don't know of any in which he gave life to the dead. Did Jesus, peace be upon him, according to you, did he give life to the dead? We say, yes, it's mentioned in the Quran, it has been in Allah, wake up in the name of Allah. So who's greater? Who's greater of the two? They don't give you the answer. They let your mind think. They use us Muslims as a fighting bag. They use us Muslims as a doormat. They keep on posing questions. They ask the question that the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is he dead or alive? He says, see, our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he's Hayatul Nabi. Spiritually, he's alive. But they ask, no, physically, is he dead or alive? We have to agree that physically he's dead. He's buried in Medina. Jesus, peace be upon him, is he dead or alive? We believe that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he was raised up alive. So who's greater? They ask you the question. They don't give you the answer. They let your mind think. They are using us as punching bag, as doormat. We are scapegoats. And believe me, we are supposed to be the people who are supposed to dawah, propagation. But these people, they are so dedicated, even with the falsehood, they are so firm. The maximum missionary that we find in any religion is in Christianity. They are making life miserable for us. What are we to do? Shouldn't we make an effort to correct these people? And Quran gives you a way how to do the job. The answer to all these questions is given clearly in the Holy Quran. But how many of us read the Quran with understanding? The Quran says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 64. It says, Qul, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, say, O people of the book, Ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum, that come to come in terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'budu illa Allah, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ, that we associate the partners with him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, that we elect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلْنَا, if then they turn back. فَقُولُوا شَدُوا, say we bear witness, we are Muslimun, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse of the Holy Quran of Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 64, is a master key for dawah. It shows you a way how to do dawah with the Ahlul Kitab, with the Jews and Christians. If it works for the Hindus, use it. If it works for the Sikhs, use it. It's a master key. It says, Ta'ala wa lakalmatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum, that come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'budu illa Allah, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ, that we associate the partner with him. We have to open our mouths. We have to do the job. But we Muslims, we are intelligent. We are intelligent in making excuses. We say, let's see, I don't have enough knowledge. We pass the baton. But since we don't have enough knowledge, we are not the fittest people to do dawah. Dawah is somebody else's job. Our beloved Prophet said, Balighu anni wal aya, that propagates, even if it be one verse, is even if you know one verse about Islam, it's your duty to propagate it. I want to know that which Muslim in this world does not know one verse about Islam. Every Muslim, he has to at least know one verse about Islam. He at least has to know La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah. Whatever he knows, it's his duty to convey the message to those people who do not know it. See, we go to the mosque and we pray, and when we pray, our Imam, he reads after Surah Fatiha in the Salah, he reads, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Saying the Allah one and only, Allah who summoned, Allah the absolute, the eternal. لَمْ يَنْ وَلَمْ يُلَدْ. He did yet not know, he is forgotten. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَوْ كُفَّ نَعَدْ. And there is nothing unto him like in this world. The Qari is saying, the Imam, he is reading, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say he is Allah one and only. I want to know that the Muslims that come in the mosque, do they not believe that Allah is one and only? Of course they believe. So what is the message we are getting in our salah? We are getting the message that Kul huwa Allahu Ahad. Say he is Allah one only. We have to go out and say to those people who do not believe that God is one, we have to tell them that God is one. Irrespective whether you can convince them or not, your job is to deliver the message. The Quran says in Surah Ghashiya, chapter number 8, verse number 21, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. That your job is to deliver the message. Your job is to deliver. Whether they accept or not, you leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is to deliver the message. Whatever you know, if you know there is one God, tell your non-Muslim friend that there is one God, there is one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he asks you to prove, how can you prove that there is one God? How can you prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now the moment you do not know the answer, what do? You come home and you do the homework. You find out the answer. That how can you prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you prove that there is one God Almighty? And believe me, now you don't have to do much of research. Everything is available in the fingertips. Now science and technology had advanced. I've given a talk a few months ago in Bombay on is the Quran the word of God, and I proved logically and scientifically, even to the atheist, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You only have to get the answer and repeat it. The moment you find the answer, and when you tell your friend that this is the answer, how you can prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can you prove that there is one God Almighty? And after he's convinced, you are a master of one question. Then you go to the next part. Then see your Prophet the Salah. The word is the proof. What is the proof that the Muslim, the way you Muslims offer Salah is right? If you don't know the answer, you come home and you do your homework. You can prove logically and scientifically that the way the Muslims pray is the best. You can prove to the Christians from his Bible that the way we offer Salah is the right way. Now you are a master of two questions. Then tell him, you should not have four. He'll ask you, what proof do you have? Why do you say that we should not have four? If you don't know the answer, you come back and do the homework. Now you are a master of three questions. In this way, your knowledge increases. You don't have to wait till you become like Sheikh Bidad or some great speaker and then you say that now I'll do Dawah. A Prophet said, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَبَعَيَ. Propagate even if you know one word about Islam. You have to start immediately. You can't wait for tomorrow. But there are Muslims who give several excuses for not delivering the message. They say that, see, first we Muslims, we should improve our own Muslim brothers. And then after our Muslim brotherhood is groomed, then we should go and speak to the non-Muslim. First, we have to make the Muslim pakka Musliman. We make the Muslim a good Muslim, and afterwards we will deliver the message to the non-Muslim. Believe me, that time will never come. That time will never come. It's impossible to make all the Muslims pakka Musliman. Our beloved Prophet could not do that. Believe me, he delivered the message to his family members. He could not convince his own uncle. His own uncle did not accept Islam. Do you think you're better than the Prophet? No, first we have to improve our own people. Then deliver the message to the other people. Do you know the reason why they say this? Because it's easy. If I tell a Muslim, then brother, you should offer salah. Even if he does not pray, he will not retire you. He will listen to you quietly. Why, sir? Die the hope. Keep a beard. Even if he does not like it, he will not retire you. Give your zakah. Even if he is not giving, he will not retire you. But if you speak about Islam with a non-Muslim, there will be a reaction. There may be a retaliation. So we want to do the easy job. We want to choose. We don't do the job, but we choose the easy path. And we pass the buck on. And we give excuses for not delivering the message. Our beloved Prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, as mentioned by the chairman, in the farewell pilgrimage, he said, there were more than 110,000 Sahabas, companions of the beloved Prophet. And he asked them, that did you get the message? And all of them unanimously said, Beshak, yes, we got the message. Then the Prophet said, all those of